Good morning. We'll start our service this morning with hymn number 172 in the blue hymnal, O Come Emmanuel, and we will sing verses 1 and 2. Please stand if you're able. I'd like to welcome everyone to the service this morning, those that are sitting here with us in the church, and those that are watching us via first time ever video live streaming. So the whole service will be broadcast live for people that want to see it. And then it can be listened to again later on the recording. Welcome to everybody. Today is the second Sunday of Advent. Our focus statement today is repentance on this road. When the heart is moving in readiness, there is an openness to the new, perhaps the fresh thing that God wants to do. To embrace the new requires a letting go of the past. Repentance means we are letting go and making space for God's new work in us. I will now light the two Advent candles. Please join me for the call to worship. Listen, a voice cries out in the wilderness.
Prepare the way of the Lord.
Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill made low. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together. Prepare the way of the Lord. Let's pray. God of the journey, thank you for being with us in all we do, in our joy and our pain, in our waking and in rest, at the beginning and at the end. Lead us this morning. Fill us with your Spirit, ready to serve you in faith, hope, and love. Amen. Let's continue singing with song number 176 in the blue hymnal. Comfort, comfort, O my people. And we will sing verses 2 and 3 from this hymn. Again, we stand if you're able.
Come, 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 come. it's my turn to say good morning and welcome here. Thank you, Val, for that introduction to our service. And for those of you who are at home and participating differently, you may or may not be able to see the number of people here. And the government allows us to have 30 people in the building. 30 plus one. I am your plus one. So this is not 30 people yet, but we're getting there. So if there are still 10 more people who are at home and saying, I would love to be in the sanctuary, especially during the Advent service. Oh, I've got a signal now from the accountant of people, and he says six. Was that six? Yes. Okay, so six more people we have space for. Of course, there is the possibility that we could ask people to phone in and register, but somehow that just, it sits wrongly with me to reserve a place to come to church. So I am happy for those people who have said, I can stay back for the opportunity of others to come and participate. Thank you. And now if there are six people at home who would like to rub shoulders, not really rubbing shoulders, but to be in visual proximity with those here, you are welcome to come. And if you live in town, hey, it's not so far. You drive in, and if Bart says, sorry, you're number 31, you need to go back home, that's not such a long drive. Unless you're coming from Weimar, then it's a little bit longer. But, you know, the roads that we have these days, it's quite a nice drive. And we're going to be talking about roads. So all of the road references are perfectly suited this morning. You know, I've also noticed that when there are fewer people here, my voice is just echoing all over in here. Never heard it that way before. So if you want to come and bring more blankets and more coats that will absorb some of the echoing sound, we won't feel so lonely. But it looks very nice. I'm happy to see you here. So that was the first opportunity. Another opportunity is a special Zion Christmas offering. That is in lieu of our Christmas banquet as an entire church. And the leadership has decided that the center is going to be the recipient. So at any time throughout December, if you want to make that special offering, go ahead, just write it on the memo line in your check or write it on the outside of your envelope of offering. Then just below that, the Women in Mission also have their own special offering. That offering will go to MCC for the education of girls, designated specifically for the education of girls. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, thank you for the life that you have granted to us. Thank you for this day. This is the day that you have made. Help us to rejoice and be glad in it. Help us to forget what has gone before. Help us to let go of those things that weigh us down. Help us to release the worry and anxiety that we carry. This is the day you've made. This is the day we have. Help us to rejoice and be glad in it, and to be glad in our relationship with you, that you are not a God far off whom we have to appease with all sorts of rituals, but you are near. You are right here with us. You have promised that, and we know it's true. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that abides with us. We ask for your blessing on this time of worship and for all those who have gathered here with us and who are connected virtually. We ask for your blessing on them in their homes, wherever they are. You see them, you see us, and you know us. You know us deeply. We pray for all of those, especially those who are in the hospital right now because of COVID. We pray for them. We pray for your healing. We ask that you would continue to show mercy and give them another day, a few more hours. Give them the hope of a future. We pray for all of those healthcare workers and government officials who are setting down regulations, and give us also the endurance and the willingness to work together as one team towards a good end, that we would care so much about our neighbors that we'd be willing to give up anything for their sake, for love of neighbor. Give us a vision for what that means, that we would now know how to act so that we love our neighbor as much as we love ourselves. Give us wisdom and insight, we pray. Thank you for the beauty that is all around us. Help us not to become so weighed down with our reality, with the circumstances that do, in fact, surround us, that we no longer have eyes to see beyond that. And I'm not talking only of the great beyond, but even the beauty that constantly surrounds us. So amazing, and you have created that. May we also become a part of that beauty that exemplifies who you are, especially in this time of need. We pray for all of those others who are also in hospital, who may feel neglected or forgotten because they don't have COVID. They don't have the big disease that everyone's noticing. They may have something else or are working against something else. We pray that you would give them strength. We pray that you would help those caregivers as well when they're not able to go in physically and help their loved one. We pray that you would support them, encourage them, help them to know that even as they entrust their loved one to you and to those others who are caring for them, that you would help them to feel secure, to know that all is well, even when they're not able to do it themselves. We're so used to taking care of business, doing it ourselves. Teach us how to trust your care and your love, exemplified in so many other people all around us. We pray for the leadership team of this church, as well as the leadership of MC Saskatchewan, MC Canada, and especially now to all of those who are involved in the decisions around Camp Elam. We pray for insight and wisdom, and we ask that you would raise up people who are now going to receive this baton and move on with it in whatever direction that is. We entrust that also to you. We pray for the other churches in Swift Current. We pray for Full Gospel Church and Langham Mennonite Fellowship and their pastor. Help us not to only think of our own community, our own surroundings, but the world is in turmoil in so many places where we may not know anyone. And we want to have a heart full of compassion because that's who you are. So even for those people that we don't know in Ethiopia, we pray for them and that terrible situation that's occurring there now. We pray for peace. We pray for security. for those who have had to leave their homes, who have lost their homes. We also pray for the Philippines and for all that is happening there because of typhoons. We ask that you would raise up people that are ready to help, to put their hand to the plow and do something to demonstrate, I want to love my neighbor in this terrible situation. Give them strength. Show us how to be involved. As you invite us into so many different opportunities, we ask that you would help us not to become so overwhelmed thinking, oh, we have to fix everything in the whole world, that in the end we do nothing. But in the quietness of this moment, we pray for your Holy Spirit to be speaking to us, that we would be able to recognize our own invitation. Invitation to work in your kingdom. And so we raise our voices together in one voice as you taught your disciples how to pray to you. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You will see the scripture readings there. You'll see the four scripture reading passages there. Those are for Advent 2, which is today, second Advent. I'm not going to read or even use all four of those passages today. I'm going to look at Mark 1, verses 1 to 8. If you want to turn there. Sometimes it's nice just to listen. And other times we like to follow along. That choice belongs to you. Mark 1, verses 1 through 8. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." John the baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts as we come before you and your word be pleasing in your sight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you looked at the front of your bulletin, which I'm sure you all have, you see the picture there, and you might compare it to the picture of last week's bulletin. All of the Advent bulletin covers are going to have different roads because our focus is traveling on this road. So this road that you see there, you might think, well, where's the snow? I thought, oh, it's nice to not see snow sometimes. We see enough of it outside, but you might look at the bulletin cover and say, that's a kind of different road. And it's not exactly an easy road. It might look more like a path. So just have that idea of different kinds of road in your mind. Today's road is repentance on this road. We're not traveling towards repentance with repentance as our end goal, but we are recognizing we need to have repentance as we journey along the road. And for some of you, you'll be thinking, well, yes, we know that the second Advent service is always about John the Baptist. And so John the Baptist is all about repentance. And John the Baptist is also all about camel's hair and locusts. Isn't that right? If I said John the Baptist before we even read this, a lot of you would have that picture of this wild-haired, I'm sure he had this huge beard, and wearing rough clothes, and just someone that is, I don't know, I was thinking about him this week, and I thought, swipe left. Definitely. That's a dating app term for some of you who like to be on the computers, and if you're looking at this app, different people who are ready for dating, looking for a relationship, you look at them, and if they look interesting, you swipe right. You want to know more about them. And John the Baptist comes up on your dating app, and you're definitely swiping left, because that guy, there's nothing attractive about him. But I've jumped the gun a little bit. I have jumped to second point. I want to back up and go through point number one, point number two, point number three. But if we're talking about roads, let's think about the roads in Swift Current. How many of you are enjoying driving around the city these days? I don't think there are very many. Although, it's getting better. Am I right? It's getting quite a bit better. I can do my errands a lot faster than I ever could before. But as I was preparing for this message, and I was thinking about repentance and the idea of those roads that I've been traveling, and the some of the back streets that are hidden from the sunlight especially, and they are less well-traveled, and the hardness of the ice and the snow, and then the ruts that come, and one side is this high, and then the other side is this low, and if you drive a Kia, you're going like this, like a boat that is tossed about on the waves of the sea. Now, if you drive one of those big SUVs, you just go along and you hardly feel anything. You say, bumps? What bumps? But the rest of us are, and you're having your teeth rattle in your head. And those hard-packed ice and ruts, they don't seem to be going away. All of these days of warm weather have not made them disappear. It's taken so long. How long has it been since that snow came? That was early November. And the ruts are still there. I'm still bouncing around on this road. Now, there's lots of different ways to do the road work. You know, John the Baptist was saying, prepare the way. Okay, so get the roads ready. Prepare the way of the Lord, make it straight, make it smooth, make it nice. That's exactly what we want. So we're talking about road work, and there's lots of ways of doing road work. And one very good way of doing road work is doing nothing at all. You just simply wait for people to drive across it, and you let it take care of itself. That can happen. And the more you drive on, it gets packed down, and people can pass. It's not the most convenient, but it works, sort of, you might think. Another way to prepare the road or to do road work, scrape the top off, the easy part, the fluffy part, you know, when the snow first came, and the machines are going around and snow is flying everywhere. It looked like a second blizzard. It was wonderful. You don't get quite down to the pavement, but it helps a little bit. But as you drive on it, more and more bumps and ruts appear. I'm speaking literally and figuratively, thinking about the idea of repentance as this way of doing road work, or the road that you walk on. There's a sidewalk right out our front door, and you would think that that should be cleared first. Well, it's never been cleared. The sun has had to melt away the snow, and then the shovel stays inside. The shovel never actually makes it out of the door. But there are these magic crystals. I don't know if any of you are into New Age things, but there are these magic crystals that you can sprinkle on this snow, especially on the walkways, and suddenly all of these hurtful mounds of snow and ice just diminish and disappear. And we think, oh, wouldn't it be lovely to be able to just sprinkle these magic crystals on those hardened bits that are inside of me. I want it just to go away, slowly diminish and disappear. Much easier, just sprinkle some magic fairy dust on it. Well, it hasn't worked at my house yet, and I would suggest it's not the best way to go about things. I could go on, but I'll stop there. You have your own idea of what that looks like. So have that in mind, because that's more realistic to us than the idea of going out into the Judean wilderness and going and being baptized in the Jordan River. It doesn't quite compute with us, but if we think about preparing the roads in Swift Current as a metaphor for our own inner life. Here we are in the Gospel of Mark. And I love this first verse because it just stops you in your tracks. At least it stops me. Here, Mark says the beginning. Everybody knows there's only two beginnings in the Bible. The first one, of course, is Genesis. And the second one is, anyone? You know it. I know you just don't want to say the wrong thing accidentally. But the second one is John. The Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. You know, it's just, yes, we know about those two beginnings. And then here's Mark thinking, now he's going to have his own beginning? Well, that's interesting. The beginning of what? The beginning of the good news. Now, we've already traveled well down this path. We already know all about John the Baptist and his ugliness. We know about the difficulty of repentance. We know that Lent is the time of repentance and feeling so uncomfortable. And I've had people in our congregation tell me, we spend too much time in Lent, too much time with the confession bit. So just leave that out. Well, yeah, it makes us uncomfortable. I don't like it either. This book, this gospel, has a different message, a different approach entirely. Here we have Mark saying the beginning of the good news. This is good news, and we're ready for good news, aren't we? As soon as we hear you see Dr. Fauci on TV, then you're thinking, oh no, please, please, please say something good. Say something happy. You know, there are two Dr. Guptas. Sorry, I'm just going on a little sidetrack. There are two Dr. Guptas on television, too. There's the happy Dr. Gupta, and then there's the mad Dr. Gupta. And one tends to just, you know, he's more positive, and he wants to help people along as we learn about the COVID and the vaccines and things. And then there's the other angry Dr. Gupta. He also tells us the truth, but it's hard to swallow because it's always kind of, I don't know, it's a little abrasive and uncomfortable. Here we have Mark, who is the happy Dr. Gupta, the beginning of the good news. And we're on our way to Christmas. We are preparing the way. But if you listened to the Advent service and you heard Greg Keel this week, he preached about the road that we're on in Advent and what are we preparing for? Are we preparing for Christmas? We're preparing for Jesus. That's what we're preparing for. We are preparing for Jesus. And sometimes we get confused. If we're preparing for Jesus, that might look a little bit different. And it begins with good news, knowing that the coming of Jesus is good news. And that word is actually evangelism. Oh, and that's all bad news. Some of us will even get our brows creased and say, ooh, those evangelical Christians, especially the ones in the southern U.S., they are making it difficult for the rest of believers. It's become so political. But here, this is the genuine, real, good news, because Jesus Christ is the gospel. What is good about the good news? Mark says, here it is, it has been foretold. There was a prophet, the prophet Isaiah, who was already preparing the way. He was out, he's talked about someone is going to come in the wilderness and call out, prepare the way of the Lord. So this road that we are preparing, the road work, is the road of good news. This is a positive thing. This is a wonderful thing. And just when we get so excited and relieved and say, ah, this is why I came to church. This is why I get up on Sunday morning to worship together, because I need good news. I need something to encourage me, to give me something to go the rest of the way throughout this week. Well, slam on your brakes. Because right here, the way of preparing the road, we see verse 4, John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming what? Proclaiming a baptism of repentance. And that's where we start to feel uneasy and maybe hardened. Maybe that snow on our roadway has been trampled so much, we don't even realize that it's underneath anymore. Maybe our practice has simply been to throw some sand on top of that ice. You don't need to deal with it. If you just keep piling sand on top of it, it gives you traction. You can move ahead. You can keep going, you can live your life, and you know what? You never have to actually deal with what is on the surface. What has piled up there? What has hardened there? Let's give ourselves some time to think about that. What has hardened there that causes bumps when I try to move? Are there resentments? Is there jealousy? Is there disappointment? Pride? Interpersonal relationships? There's so many different things, and some of them, maybe even greed or gluttony. Some things we don't even bother talking about because they're just, oh, that's just, you know? And when we do that, we allow that to pile up on our roadway. It can get really hard. And rather than doing the road work, that John says, come on, let's do the road work. We're going to prepare because we're preparing for Jesus. The way to prepare for Jesus is through repentance. There's no other way. And you'd think that's the bad news, because it can be painful. It's stuff we've kept hidden. We've gotten used to bumping along on that roadway. It's just who I am. It's my character. What can I say? John says the way to prepare is through repentance. It looks ugly. John is not attractive, but it's the way to go. People in the countryside took this way. All the Judean countryside, they were coming this way. People in the city, in Jerusalem, were coming this way. The movement along this road, they were ready for it. They were open to it. Their hearts were moved. What moves our hearts? Have we become so accustomed to simply taking care of business by painting over the cracks that we no longer even realize this crack should be taken care of? I need to deal with this. In Matthew 23, verse 27, Jesus talks about these whitewashed sepulchres. What are we hiding? Oh, have you ever seen on TV those, what are they called? Sinkholes. There's a perfectly good road, driving along or even walking along, and suddenly it just sinks. It just opens up, and there is this huge, great, big, gaping hole. Something underneath was not right. Imagine, what is the sinkhole in my life? Jesus invites us. John invites us. Mark, by writing this gospel, the gospel of the good news, this is good news. This is not bad news. This is good news. Come this way. It might look harsh. It might look odd. It might look weird. What on earth is he doing, eating locusts and wild honey? That's no good. That's not welcoming? How on earth does he expect to start a movement or have a really full church if he dresses that way? We've got to make it attractive. How can we make our programming more attractive so more people will come? Doesn't that sound familiar? Oh, I read about it all the time. Lots of pastor books and magazines and things like that. John wasn't worried about that. John said, I've got the good news of Jesus Christ. And the road to Jesus Christ, the road comes simply through repentance. Now, that road work isn't all that hard. I'd like to just refer to one of the chapters in the book called Signs of Life. If you want to read it, I've got it in my study, and I'll put it in the library. But this author was saying, we have, in our culture, we have embraced a narrative that declared mortality is the enemy. Mortality has become our enemy. That's the worst thing, and you want to avoid it at all costs. So you want to work as hard as you can. Pretend you are not frail. But the good news coming out of the Gospel of Mark, coming from John, the good news is our frailty. The people's frailty, their inconstancy, their acknowledgement of their inability to save themselves. This is good news. And that's all we have to do. You don't have to hide all of this stuff. Pretend it's not there. Work so hard to cause a distraction. Look here, look here. Don't look over here. Don't look in this closet here. If you are the kind of cleaner-upper that some people are, when someone's coming, you throw everything into the closet, close the door, ta-da! Look at my beautiful, clean house. Don't look in that closet. Don't open that door. Don't look under that rug. But once we are ready to say, yes, look in that closet. Look under that rug. Look at me. Say before God and the Holy Spirit, go ahead, look at me. Where do I need to repent? What is it? Knowing I don't have to work at overcoming it, I don't need to hide it anymore. This is the good news. I simply need to release it. I give it up. I acknowledge it's there, and this repentance for the forgiveness of sins. I don't have to be invincible. I don't have to be perfect. I don't even have to be right. What a relief. The good news is repentance of sin. This is the way. This is the road to Jesus Christ. And this is where freedom lies. This is freedom. Release, forgiveness of sins. And then the road work has been done by one who is greater than I. John says, there is another one coming who is greater than I. I am baptizing you, but he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. He's coming. It's true. Trust that. He is there ready to do the road work. Our task? Simply repent for the forgiveness of sins. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. The work has already been done. Our road is leading us to Jesus Christ through the pathway of repentance. Amen. In response, let's sing Hymnal, a Worship Book, number 210. Good Christian friends, rejoice. And that's why we can rejoice, because through repentance, we don't have that load to carry anymore. We don't need to hide anything anymore. This is wonderful news. Go ahead and stand. There are three verses. We will sing all three.
Thank you.
Please bow for the benediction. People of God, people on the road, something greater is coming. Prepare the way of the Lord. Go forth, attuned to the Holy Spirit, making room for the light of the world. Amen.